We'll get a roundup of state political news in our state capitol report this hour, starting with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, in this first half hour. And then after 7:30, we'll talk with State Senator Fred Risser about his bill to ban dogs and wolf hunting and some other issues making news at the state capitol. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 9th. So what do you make of the latest news involving Governor Walker's campaign staff? One campaign aide was fired last week after her anti-Latino tweets were uncovered. This is the same aide who signed a fundraising letter that received some national attention because that letter hinted people should donate money to the governor's campaign rather than buy toys for their kids for Christmas. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will talk about that story and several others with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who is back after taking a few weeks off for family leave. Welcome back, Sean.
Thanks. Good to be back.
It's good to have you here. For listeners who don't know, you are the proud second-time dad of a new daughter, and her name is Meredith.
Meredith Louise Johnson.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And again, welcome back. Less happy news, the big storm across much of Wisconsin yesterday. The roads were really, really bad in southeastern Wisconsin, multi-car pile-ups, and it looks like State Senator Kathleen Vinehout was involved in one of those.
Yeah, we don't know much about it yet, but we just know that on her Facebook page that she posted, or somebody posted on her behalf, that she was injured. I believe she was among those hospitalized, and so hopefully we'll find out more. But yeah, that just looked like huge pileups on 94, and somebody we know was there.
Yeah, she was. Again, from the Facebook postings and from an article in the Progressive, there was some speaking engagements in Racine and Kenosha for Senator Vinehout, which were canceled because of the weather, but she was apparently already, on the road. These speaking engagements and are presumably related to her testing the gubernatorial waters.
Presumably, I haven't talked to her for a while, but it seemed like when I was out, any article I read or any appearance that I saw with Kathleen Vinehout seemed to be hinting strongly that she was interested in running for governor. And, she's done nothing to deter that over the last couple of months, which would set up a Democratic primary.
And she did last week hire some campaign staff.
Yeah. And it's just it's a small step, really. But it's one that hints that she might be interested. If she weren't to run for governor, she would, of course, have, her own Senate reelection bid to worry about. But all her public comments seem to be suggesting that she wants to do this. I think the question now for her is, how much money do I need to run a no-budget campaign? I mean, you have to have a budget to have a no-budget campaign, essentially. And so she's probably figuring that out at this point and seeing if it's feasible.
And again, Senator Vinehout has said all along that she will formally announce and or decide by early January, I believe, is what she's been saying.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we wish certainly Senator Vinehout well, and we hope that she has a quick and full recovery, whatever happened yesterday in this crash. And speaking of hospitalizations,
yeah.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett also in the hospital.
Yeah, the last Democratic candidate for governor, incidentally, was hospitalized after a run that he did, I think a 12K run on his 60th birthday. It's a little farther than he usually runs, and he was hospitalized for exhaustion. It sounds like the mayor's doing fine.
Poor guy goes on a run on his 60th birthday.
Yeah.
Dehydration and exhaustion.
Right.
Yeah. So while we also wish Milwaukee Mayor Barrett a quick and full recovery. Well, still talking about campaign stuff, I mentioned that there was national attention on this letter that went out from Governor Walker's campaign. This was actually right after Thanksgiving or right around Thanksgiving that the letter went out, Sean, asking people to consider making a donation to the governor's campaign maybe in lieu of buying toys for the kids?
Yeah, and this is one of those things where maybe it gets some attention if he's not being mentioned as a candidate for president. But because he's been out there in national media kind of making the rounds on this book tour and being talked about as a potential presidential candidate, everything's under the microscope. And so when a campaign aide sent out this email saying, instead of buying a gift for your kids, it's probably going to break or be forgotten by next holiday season, give a gift to the governor's campaign. The governor was asked whether he stands by that fundraising email.
It's certainly not something I would have put out. I think the tone would have certainly been different, but obviously the reason for that person no longer being there is much bigger than just that particular email.
So he's alluding there at the end. She was fired from the campaign, and the reason the campaign gave, though, was not because of that email, but because of tweets that she sent a couple years ago, racially insensitive tweets, talking about wants to choke the illegal mechs cleaning the library where she was working. That was a quote, and so the governor was asked, those tweets were a couple years ago. Why did she just get around to firing her now?
I think like most employers, we don't spend time going back trying to find out years and years ago what people may or may not have said in social media. But obviously when it was brought to our attention, it was something that concerned our campaign and concerned me. And we took action just like we did here at the state.
So this aide has been fired. And the governor says that he didn't know about those tweets.
Yes. Yeah. Didn't know about the tweets. And, he says that wasn't his call on the fundraising email.
Yeah. All right. So what is Governor Walker saying these days about this Indian mascot bill, the bill that would make it harder for school districts to change an Indian mascot name or nickname?
I think the news is that he's not saying much. I mean, usually when you have a big Republican piece of legislation, you figure that everybody's on board and, he hasn't really had too many disagreements with the Republican-controlled legislature since he's been in office, really. And so, what we know with this mascot bill is that he just won't say what he's going to do. And, it's been a while since the Assembly passed it, kind of getting into the technicalities of how the legislature operates. But as of last week, the bill was still in the Assembly. They haven't actually given it to the governor yet.
So it's not on his desk.
No,
awaiting a veto or a signature.
Yeah. And the way that the process works is the governor can basically call for a bill at any time. Once it's, passed both houses, he can call for it to sign it or veto it at any time. So if it's a high profile piece of legislation, he doesn't have to wait for it to be automatically sent to his desk. He can say, I want to take care of this now. He hasn't done that.
I've heard those stories that if he doesn't act by December 12th,
yeah, it's kind of weird. If he doesn't act by December 12th, that's the date when all bills are automatically sent to the governor. So whether, if he hasn't called for it by then, it's coming to him. And then at that point, he has 6 days, not including Sundays, to sign or veto it. And so that puts it on like the December 19th, where, he has to act. If he does not act, it automatically becomes law in Wisconsin. So they don't have a pocket veto here. It's more like a pocket signature.
Ah.
I'd be surprised if it got to that. That's kind of a unusual step on a high-profile piece of legislation. All we know right now is that he hasn't really taken a public stance on it.
Well, we will talk more about things happening at the state capitol as our state capitol report continues coming up. Sean will talk some about what the State Assembly did in special session on Badger Care and what the Senate is likely to do. And we will welcome your questions on any story happening at the State Capitol, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking about happenings under the State Capitol Dome and welcoming your questions about the latest in state politics. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. So, Sean, what's the latest with the special session on delaying the kicking of people off of Badger Care to go to the federal exchanges? What's going on?
The Assembly passed it this past week, and it got all Republicans voting in favor. Actually picked up six Democratic votes, and that includes Brett Halsey of Madison, who is kind of at odds with Democrats right now, but it's still a Democratic vote in the Assembly. So basically, this affects two different populations of people very differently. You have the people who were slated to get pushed off or kicked off of Badger Care Plus on January 1st and moved on to the federal health insurance marketplace. And these are 72,000 parents and caretakers who are on Badger Care. What the Assembly did this past week is they delayed pushing them off until April 1st. So for those 72,000 people, the Assembly's action last week was welcome news.
And let me just clarify, the reason the delay was proposed is because it was thought that these people could not sign up for the health care that they needed from the federal exchanges because of the problems of healthcare.gov.
Yeah, just the statistics that are available show that people just aren't signing up for it yet in large enough numbers in Wisconsin, anywhere near large enough numbers, and that those people who have been relying on this don't yet necessarily have another safety net to move to. And so they'll have Badger Care Plus available for them until April 1st.
But there's more to it than that, this bill.
Yeah. So for another 83,000 people who are adults without kids, and these are people who are at or below the federal poverty level, so, the poorest Wisconsinites, they were expecting to get access to Badger Care on January 1st. Oh. And this is this would be new coverage for them. This is something where Republicans, the governor in particular, has said, we're going to make Badger Care something that's available for the neediest of the needy. This is the way it was designed. This is the people that we want to help. Those people were expecting to get that help on January 1st, but they will also be delayed until April 1st. And so for them, the Assembly action, not so welcome. And I mean, part of the reason, a couple of reasons given for that by Republicans. One, reduces confusion. And two, it's cost. I mean, the state is actually going to save money over this time, have more money in its coffers because of delaying Badger Care coverage for this group of people.
Yeah, and the Democrats objected for the most part to this delay because it would because of this, that the 83,000 wouldn't get their coverage?
Yeah, I mean, their argument was that this was a choice. You didn't have to delay the coverage for the 83,000 people, that it is – it was a choice made by Republicans. Also that it was a broken promise. They said, pretty consistently throughout the year that this group was going to get this coverage, that this was the aim of Badger Care, and then, they're backing off of this. So, as you can imagine, characterized very differently by the two parties. And I know you say finger-pointing happens all the time in politics, pretty much every day, and on most issues, but really on this issue, maybe my tolerance is just down, but it just seems like the finger pointing was pretty strong on this. Republicans, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, pointing their finger at the federal government, saying, we would have had all this, all these people covered, and our plan would have been in motion if it weren't for the delays with Obamacare.
We kept our part of the bargain, but the federal government didn't keep theirs, which is why we are giving an additional 3 months for anybody in Wisconsin who is going to transition off of Badger Care into the private exchanges to get that done.
And Democrat Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh noted that Wisconsin is kind of unique, though, here. You don't see other states scrambling to change their Medicaid coverage late in the game like this. And he says the reason is that you had other states, including states that are run by Republican governors, accept federal Medicaid money to cover all these people. And so that's something Wisconsin did not do. And that's part of the reason, you know, they're in this situation.
And the reason why is because they made the responsible choice of accepting the federal Medicaid expansion dollars, so we wouldn't be in this situation today, where we're given this false choice. We're to choose between sacrificing one group for another.
So that bill now heads to the state Senate. The Senate's likely to take it up around December 19th, I believe.
Yeah. And this Badger Care issue is the only issue that's going to be dealt with in this special session.
In the special session, there is also part of the bill that delays a phase out of this high risk insurance pool in Wisconsin, this state pool. And, you know, but that's also lumped in with the bill.
So there were oral arguments in a Planned Parenthood case before the Court of Appeals last week, and I know you covered that. What's going on?
Yeah, this is the Federal Court of Appeals in Chicago, which thankfully posts their oral arguments online. Mm-hmm. Day after, they had oral arguments in Wisconsin in a challenge to Wisconsin's new abortion law, and this is the law that would require women seeking an abortion to undergo an ultrasound. That part of the law is not being challenged here. What's being challenged is that the part of the law that bars doctors, or the part of the law that's been enjoined or temporarily blocked, is the one that bars doctors without admitting privileges at local hospitals from performing abortions.
Right.
So some abortion clinics have said that's going to shut us down. And the argument has been made that you don't see this for other procedures. Why abortion? And this is an argument that judges actually made in the federal appeals court last week. Judges are always playing devil's advocate in these situations. They're often posing questions that you can't necessarily say are going to color how they write their opinions. But in this case, you had pretty consistent and strong back and forth between federal judge Richard Posner and Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General Daniel Lennington defending the law for the state, and Posner asking that question, why for this procedure did you require doctors to have admitting privileges when you don't have it anywhere else?
So the question is there something medically special about abortion that is the reason that the legislature decided that that would be their first and so far only situation which they'd require these
admitting privileges?
No.
Pardon?
No.
There's nothing medically unique. Okay, then why did they start with abortion? It's because it begins with a letter A?
And so he went on like that a few times, and eventually Assistant Attorney General Lennington gave him a firmer answer.
Is there anything in the record or in, you know, public documents which indicates the motive for this legislation?
Nothing in the record about the motive of the reason why they started with this procedure. No.
Do you have any conjecture as to why they did?
No, that's their legislative choice.
And you see that in a lot of court cases, a lot of court cases over the last couple of years, if you've been paying attention, legislative choice, or, you know, that they made the law affords the legislature some room mm-hmm. to make choices that they view as rational. And so that's an argument being advanced by the state in this situation.
In other news, Assembly Democrats are pushing for an advisory referendum on redistricting.
Yeah, you've probably heard them making noise and editorial boards basically backing them up on this bill that would have a nonpartisan state agency draw maps and then have the legislature vote them up and down. It's similar to a system in Iowa. The thought is you take some of the politics out of redistricting, which when one party controls everything can be a very political process. It's political anytime, but in this last go-around, Republicans were able to use it to their political advantage. Democrats are saying, okay, if we can't get a vote on this, and they've been unable to, their new plan is that we will have an advisory referendum and we'll ask people, what do you think? Do you want to have some type of redistricting reform? Here's Eau Claire Assembly Democrat Dana Wachs.
Since our colleagues on the other side of the aisle don't seem willing to give this idea the attention it deserves. We want to take it directly to the people of the state of Wisconsin.
That's probably not going anywhere, though, is it, or is it?
No, probably not, because you're back to square one, basically. Mm-hmm. You still have to get it's just an advisory, non-binding referendum they're asking for. But even to get that on the ballot, you have to have an act of the legislature. The legislature is still controlled by the same people who don't want that redistricting bill. And so it's hard to imagine them advancing this referenda.
Okay,
referendum.
We have just a minute or so left. Two new assembly representatives were sworn in.
Yeah, Jesse Rodriguez of Franklin, a Republican. She becomes the legislature's second Latina member and the first Latina legislator for the GOP. Also, Bob Culp, a Republican from Stafford.
And there is another special election?
December 17th, Tuesday, December 17th, to fill the seat vacated by Republican Jeff Stone.
All right. So why don't we what about there? What's going to happen this week, Sean? I mean, what's on the agenda?
A couple things coming up. There's a press conference by Democratic Senators Harris and Wirch. They're going to call for a minimum wage increase. You know, that's something that's not likely to go anywhere, given the makeup of this legislature. Didn't actually go anywhere when Democrats controlled the legislature. Speaker's office, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office, says they're going to release a final report on Common Core standards recommendations on Wednesday. And a special committee that Voss set up is going to vote on that on Thursday.
Well, maybe we'll find out what happens there next week on the State Capitol Report. Thanks very much, Sean, for being here. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will welcome in State Senator Fred Risser, who will talk with us about his bill to ban dogs in wolf hunting. This is the Ideas Network.